Morning Drop, Friday, March the 8th in 2024, the year of our Lord. I'm Mike G. You guys know the drill here before we get started. If you're watching this on YouTube, hashtag get your weight up. Hit like and subscribe so you can get notified when we drop new content. If you're listening to this on podcast, hit that subscribe button so you can get notified every time there's a new podcast episode. We drop these every day. I'm here with Caesar Walker. We're talking running backs and DJ Durkin. Caesar, let's jump right in here. Auburn returned their whole running back room. Incredible. Incredible all those guys came back.
We need to pause for a moment and talk about how incredible that is. Because yeah. I expected at least one guy. At least one.
I thought it was going to be Betty. He actually got
in. He actually went in the portal and came back out. Yeah. But, you know, there was rumors about Damari.
Yeah.
And then there was rumors about, like, it could have been bad, but I'm happy that we are where we are.
There were rumors about Jarquez.
Yeah.
They introduced him at a basketball game, and they were like, returning for his senior season. I was like, did they just tell? Because yes. He never made an announcement about getting
spill the spill the beans. Yeah. Right.
So, look, I don't think there was any realistic expectation that Jarquez was going to go pro after the season he had last year. Right. Just over 900 yards on the ground. Let's start with him. Look, Jarquez Hunter, when healthy and in a normal system, should be a 1,200-yard back. Hugh Freeze isn't really known for producing prolific rushers. Realistic expectations for him in terms of the division of snaps here, obviously he's going to lead in rush attempts, right?
Absolutely. I think so. I think the question about this room, Mike, is – what does this offense look like moving forward, right? Obviously, you're trying to fix the passing attack, and you leaned heavily on the run last year.
61% to 39% run-pass ratio last year.
Right. So in the years that, and we talked about this in previous recordings, that when Hugh Freeze's offense were humming, they were close to being balanced, more balanced than what we saw last year. So if you do achieve more offensive output, but you're more of a balanced offense, that's less carries than this running back room got last year. Now, obviously, Peyton Thorne factors into that, right?
Yeah.
Because he got his fair share of the carries. I'm just concerned about the opportunities these guys are going to get if this offense balance out.
You know, running quarterback accounted for 33% of the rush attempts and 25% of the yards produced in the run game last year. That's maybe too much. Now, I got a chance to ask Peyton Thorne, hey, do you expect to run the ball as much this year as you did last year? He kind of threw his receivers under the bus a little bit. In my opinion, he threw last year's receivers under the bus. He said, well, with the weapons we have this year, I don't expect to have to run it as much. Now, I'm not sure the receivers were as much the problem as the system and the tug of war between Hugh Freeze and Philip Montgomery was. But certainly, I think that this running back room is going to be happy with a share of those carries going to them rather than going to the quarterback.
Now, I think also, to add to the previous point about that, is that if you have improved the passing attack, then you're forcing teams to play you more evenly, right? You're not cheating up looking for Jarquez, Damari, and Peyton Thorne, all those guys. You now have to defend the receivers, right? So, which means you have less people in the box, which gives these running backs, when their number is called, better opportunities to make some plays, right? Yeah. And so, it depends on how you look at it. You're going to have to make the most of your opportunities, especially if this offense improves.
Yeah, yards per carry, I think, is the stat that Hugh Freeze is most interested in. Like, you know, are you averaging over 5 yards a carry? Anything under that in this league, you're in trouble in the run game.
For sure.
So to not be in trouble in the run game, you got to have somebody behind Jarquez. And right now, presumably, that's Damari Alston.
Yes.
The guy who most people thought might bolt after the season. There were some games – because these guys, again, it was kind of weird with Jarquez didn't start the season and then Damari got hurt. And like, you know, assuming everybody stays healthy, you know, Jarquez, 20 carries, Damari, 15 carries. How does that look?
I'm thinking Jarquez, 15, Damari, 10, Cobbs, 5, 6, somewhere in there.
Okay.
But T is the interesting one to me. right? Because we saw his carries diminish as the season went on last year.
Yeah.
That was why I was surprised he came back from out of the portal. I don't know if he was he wasn't able to garner any interest from other programs or what.
Greener on the other side,
or what? But to me, I think Batee is going to be slim pickings for him, right? In terms of getting some opportunities, because you got to feed Jeremiah Cobb, you got to feature him somewhere in this offense. And so I'm assuming that there's going to be some games Jarquez gets 20.
Okay,
right. I'm not going to say he's going to never get to 20, but I think if you have a room that stacked, you got to appease some guys, right?
Sure.
And so I think I don't envision a scenario where you don't try to get Cobb the ball in some, whether it's passing him the ball or whatever.
If these guys made the decision to come back, I got to assume there was some conversation with the coaches about what their role would be. So certainly commitments were made if everybody returned about what their role would be. If you're Damari, look, you understand that Jarquez has to get his. Mm-hmm. But none of these guys think they're second to the other guy.
Sure.
Right? I got some inside info. I tweeted this out. It caused a little bit of a stir. But I was told that there was a foot race between Jarquez and Batee and Cobb. Jarquez smoked the other two.
When you say smoked.
Well, smoked, right? Like
he won.
Yeah, he won.
Right. Like, yeah. I'm a sprinter, so when I say I smoked someone.
A whole two steps or something. You know, we know Jarquez enjoys McDonald's. Got himself some McDonald's. And the other two vigorously dispute that account.
Okay.
I believe my source. But there's a lot of great, healthy competition in that room right now. So if you're Damari, you're thinking, look, man, Jarquez has got to get his, but I got to get mine too. And we know early in camp, Derek Nix really likes Damari Alston. Mm. Now, he won't be calling plays, but I'll be interested to find out if, similar to past staffs, he will be responsible for the rotation of the guys at that position about when they go into
game. Well, he's the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So I would think he would have at least some input into this. And I'm going to say this too, because you made a good point about promises made to the running backs.
Yep.
Hugh Freeze has a guy on his staff who understands Hugh Freeze.
Yep.
His expectations, what the offense needs to look like. Mm. I think it's one thing to make a promise to these guys. It's another thing to deliver.
Yep.
And now that you are putting together a staff to build your offense that you want to run at Auburn and the offense that you expect to see, you can now begin to see where these guys fit. I think it may have been difficult to see that last year, especially with all the other stuff that was going on off the field, injuries, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. I think that you're in a better position to truly integrate these guys into your offense so that your offense is more productive, but they can also produce as well.
Quickly, let's talk about Batee and Cobb. Batee, obviously, he's going to get most of his touches, I assume, on special teams, right? But they'll mix him in there as a change of pace back.
Sure.
He may catch some passes out of the backfield. But Cobb was actually really good catching passes out of the backfield last year. How does the youngster factor in here, too? Because you got to keep him happy as well with that free transfer sitting out there.
Well, you know, he's also been in our strength and conditioning program at least a year now.
Yeah, you're
right.
Yeah,
a year or two.
Early enrollee.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is 2 years. So, you know, he was used in kind of like speed sweep situations, you know, running around the edge, catching passes. I'm pretty sure he wants to run between the tackles a bit and prove what he can do, just like Batee wanted to prove what he can do. So I'm looking forward to see them use him in various situations other than kind of like a utility running back, right? He wants to be kind of an everything type of a running back. So I'm curious to see if they use him either, you know, first down situations, you know, short yardage situations. I think he wants to prove that he can be that type of guy. So I want to see him get that opportunity.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see with him, right? Because obviously he would know the two guys in front of me are my senior and they decided to come back. So there's some at least expectation that he's going to take a back seat to them at least initially.
Sure.
With the opportunity to move up, you know, should there be injury or somebody not playing well.
You got 2 to 3 guys who won't be there the year after.
Sure.
So why, if I'm Cobb, why would I? You didn't bring in a running back last year either.
You didn't bring in a running back.
So if anyone can afford to wait their turn, it's Cobb.
Yeah.
Right? Sure. So, but at the same time, you don't want to just sit on the bench in year two as well. So they got to figure out something for him.
War Report family, you are listening to The Morning Drop, where we talk about the most recent and relevant Auburn sports news. We broadcast live from the War Report's YouTube channel on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 Central Time. You're welcome to come watch it live, but the live chat is reserved for our YouTube channel members only. So come on by, become a member, and get active in the best Auburn sports community on the webs. We'll be right back after we pay a couple bills. Drop! Thanks for sticking around through the ad break. Now here's the rest of your morning drop.
Drop! Let's talk DJ Durkin for a second here. DJ Durkin takes over for Ron Roberts. This meant nobody can accuse DJ Durkin of not being able to get a job. This man can find a job. He can find a job in a recession. He's recession proof. DJ Durkin is the new defensive coordinator. He takes over for a defensive coordinator that produced a pretty good defense last year, I would say.
Yeah.
But it seems like Auburn has been making controversial hires for a little bit here, right? Hugh Freeze obviously came with his baggage. Ron Roberts left amidst a little bit of a cloud. Right. Yeah. There were some things going on there, I think, between him and some other coaches and some players. So he was highly encouraged to move on. You know, our sources told us. And now DJ Durkin is here and he's got a past. Right.
Sure.
Let's talk about culture, Caesar. What kind of culture change do we expect with DJ Durkin here in year two of the Hugh Freeze era?
Well, to answer that, we do have to acknowledge why he's even at Auburn in the first place.
Yep.
Because you had a defensive coordinator, Ron Roberts, who produced on the field. I know a lot of Auburn fans are still a little salty about the 4th and 31 in the Iron Bowl. But for the most part, Auburn's defense wasn't the Achilles heel of that team, right, last year. So Ron Roberts did a pretty good job with that defense overall. However, what's important with the head coach in year one is establishing a culture, which means you got to have a good culture fit amongst players, but also amongst coaches. And for whatever reason, Ron Roberts didn't appear to be the culture fit that we needed moving forward.
That's saying the least. So, look, isn't this a guy that Saban wanted to hire?
Allegedly. Yeah, that's the rumor.
Yeah. And I mean, streets are saying since he couldn't hire him, he just retired. He was like, I can't get who I want anymore, so I'm just going to retire. No, I'm playing. That's not why he retired. He had a lot of beefs with college football when he retired. But DJ Durkin, I think he's got some sizable shoes to fill in year two.
Okay.
I think fans were pleasantly surprised at how good this defense was last year. Six games where they gave up two scores or less.
Yeah.
This was a 9-3 defense. Hear me out. This was a 9-3 defense.
Okay.
They produced, you know, 6-6.
Well, I understand what you're saying, because there were a few games that were just inexcusable that Auburn lost.
Sure.
Right? Two we can think of. And then there's Georgia.
Yeah.
Right? Your defense did just enough to be in striking distance with Georgia.
Yeah,
so sure. I'm not mad at that. That's not a hot take, in my opinion.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I just think, you know, they did really well, and DJ Durkin is going to come in here. And in year two, if Auburn is going to hit the over, Vegas set the over at 7.5. So you're betting Auburn's going to win 7 games or less, or 8 games or more, right? Yeah. No in between.
Yeah.
So what I'm looking at here is, to get the over, what does Auburn have to do? I honestly think they need a top 5 defense in the league next year to hit the over with that schedule.
Mm. You know, it's kind of tricky, because I think that the defense has been carrying Auburn since 2017, mm-hmm. maybe. Like, that's been a long time, and we've been blessed to have a defense that's been capable of keeping us in games.
Yeah.
All right. I think this is one of those years where the defense could stand to use a little bit of help.
Yeah, it could.
Right. And always. I think the offense has to take a step forward. Yeah. Not to just belabor the point on offense, but the thing is that the secondary was a strength of this defense last year. you're replacing a lot of guys.
DJ James, Jalen Simpson, gone. Those guys.
Yeah, they were just
in the combine.
Nehemiah Pritchard, like you're a lot of experience, a lot of snaps that you're losing out of that backfield, which means you got to have some help up front. And that's one of the reasons why A&M's defense last year under DJ Durkin was one of the tops in the league, because despite having poor secondary play, not saying Auburn's going to have poor secondary play this year, but despite having poor secondary play at A&M, you had such a good front seven to where the defensive numbers didn't look bad, you know, when you look at them for A&M, because they were so dominant up front. Yep. Not saying that Auburn's defense has to be dominant, because you're replacing some bodies up front too with Auburn this year, but DJ Durkin has been known to have impressive front sevens.
Yeah.
I'm looking for him to at least get us a jump start to improving our run defense, because that we were kind of porous at times in run defense last year and years prior. If we can improve the run defense in year one, I think that helps Auburn out a ton, in my opinion.
Yeah, I like that. I also am going to go with pass rush in year two.
Sure, 100%.
Don't leave these DBs on an island.
For sure.
You know, at the end of the day, if you can get a pass rush, a lot of things will go right on defense for you when the quarterback is operating under pressure, or your defensive line is in the backfield disrupting that run game at the point of handoff.
Agreed.
So it'll be interesting to see what Durkin can produce. Look, he had the best pass defense in the league last year at A&M.
Yeah.
Right? He had, I think, the second best run defense in the league at A&M last year as well, too. Look, this was a top defense in the league. Hugh Freeze was joking with the media. He said, look, man, I'll take those numbers he produced at A&M, certainly.
Yeah.
Now, they had 1,000,005 stars from the one class where everybody transferred, and they still somehow had 1,000,005 stars left over. But he's got talent here at Auburn, I think. I saw Malik Blockton in his first spring practice. He looks monstrous.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
Jason Jones looks like he's a monster already. They've got some guys there, I think, that can make a splash here. What do you think? Top five, maybe? Top three? What's the ceiling? Yeah, what's the ceiling for the defense? For Durkin?
Top five.
Top five?
I'm going to go top five.
Okay.
Defense. And I think that's good company. There's some good defenses in. Again, I know Alabama used to be in that number. I don't know where they're going to be this year moving forward. But I think top five is reasonable. I think top five does put pressure on the offense to perform this year, because you're not getting blown out, and you're not putting the offense in a bind. You're not getting in shootouts or have to get in shootouts to win, right? So top five is a good ceiling. But to me, I don't see them falling no lower than right outside top five, maybe six or seven in terms of defense this year. And to me, I think that at some point, Mike, it's going to be difficult for the defense to continue to be the strength of Auburn. At some point, we got to balance out and get some help from the offense.
Yeah, look, no game was ever won with 0 points allowed and 0 points scored. So
at the end
of the day, more points helps. You can help us out, guys, if you're listening on podcasts, by hitting that subscribe button. Follow us on every podcast platform. We're on Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, whatever you listen to your podcast on. The War Report is there. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that join button, become a patron. We'll be back at you guys next Monday with another Morning Drop. Follow us on social media, hashtag The War Report. We're at The War Report, every social media platform. TW Report on TikTok. We're signing off, and as always, War Eagle.
Drop! Drop!